Live, local, FM talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley. 92.3 FM talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
Hello.
John Potter here, live and local each and every Saturday. Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. It's a glorious day today, isn't it? Current temperature, 54 degrees. Great weather for a parade. I'm sorry I could not be there. I'm really missing out. Really enjoyed doing that. Okay, I promised 11 o'clock shutdown. That's what folks, you, I'm sure, have an opinion on. I know this is... It's been like a political ping pong deal. Get the ball back and forth. You know, this one blames that when one blames the other. And I'm not trying to be a partisan jerk. I'm not here to carry water for the Republicans. I'm not here to crap on Democrats. I'm here to call balls and strikes. And the simple fact on the government shutdown is that Senate Democrats at the command of Senator Schumer have 13, I don't know, I've lost count. I think 13 was the last number I heard, 13 times voted down a continuing resolution that would fund the government. And as a result of that, there are federal employees, some 1.4 million of them who've not been paid. Phil got paid yesterday. I got paid yesterday. You folks listening, I'm sure, if you have a job, you got paid yesterday. Most places pay middle and end of the month. But these are people, the federal employees, who some of them are on furlough. Many of them are working without pay because they're essential. But it's 1.4 million families who have not gotten the paycheck. And I feel more people should really kind of put themselves in that position. As you form your opinion on this, there are people who I presume are good on their job. It's not that they've done anything wrong. It's not that they've screwed up. Their political leaders have screwed up in this state, too. I got the press release 4 days ago on Tuesday. Press release, which the TV stations print word for word from Senator Jackie Rosen or Senator Catherine Cortez Masto and masquerade them as a story. They're really whatever these people write, these senators, and no fact checking is done. They're just printed as news. Anyway, Tuesday press release. I'm reading it here. Senator Jackie Rosen urges President Trump to maintain SNAP funding for Nevada amid government shutdown. She noted the potential risk to families relying on these benefits during the government shutdown. Standing up for the people who are not getting their SNAP benefits. It's kind of ironic, Jackie Rosen talking about this. Senator Rosen voted against paying the federal employees. She voted against paying the SNAP people this week. There was yet another continuing resolution that would have funded the federal government. When was that? Thursday? Almost through the end of the month, it would fund the government. And on a vote starting back on the 19th of September, Jackie Rosen voted no. She voted not to fund the government. She voted to shut down the government. The continuing resolution would have paid the 1.4 million federal employees. The continuing resolution would have provided SNAP benefits for the 42 million Americans and 77,000 Northern Nevadans who are beneficiaries of that program. But Jackie Rosen voted no and then had the temerity to stand up and condemn the shutdown that she voted for. And now every freaking TV reporter out there with a microphone and a camera has decided to go find somebody or some politician to tell us just how terrible it's going to be today when the EBT doesn't reload and people are going to be dying and starving in the streets and how horrible this entire situation is. Well, like I said, I agree that the government is wrong in this matter, and I don't doubt that it will be a tremendous challenge for many of our Northern Nevadans. But you and I, as human beings, as I told Phil at 9 this morning, we learn from experience, you know, things that happen to us and things that we observe in other people. We can watch and learn and be benefited by experiences. And the fact that the EBT cards won't reload and that so many people will be instantly out of food sort of begs the question, wouldn't it make sense to maybe store a little extra food, put a little ahead for a rainy day, especially with our bozo government pulling these shutdowns constantly? Can we do that? Is it possible that you can store, like how we get through a northern Nevada snowstorm that has us not going outside to the store for a week? Or if you're fired, or the company bounces the paychecks, the truckers go on strike, you could get sick. You could be escorted out of your TV newsroom. I won't get into that again. But, you know, things happen. There are lots of ways that the expected food money could not come in. And being prepared just in case only makes sense, doesn't it? Go to the supermarket. They're going to have a sale sometimes, you know, like a sale on canned vegetables. Buy some extras. Stock up a little extra. Many things have very long shelf lives. Do that every payday. Set aside $10 each time. Build up over time. No SNAP benefits is just one of the many things that can happen. You prepare for that so you can still eat. It's a good idea. We used to call it saving for a rainy day. Put some food aside. But yeah, I do know that when you or I or our government makes a promise, you keep a promise. And the people who receive food stamps, the SNAP, they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't make this program up. The government did. The same politicians who shut down the government. And in the real world, what food stamps means is that on a certain date, you're going to, you know, put some money on your card and you'll be able to go out and you can buy certain foods. And then you can take those home to your family and eat them. May not be a perfect system, but it's our system. And because of the government shutdown, that is not back in operation. And some 40 million Americans and 77,000 Northern Nevadans who were supposed to get their food stamps today are getting nothing. 77,000 Northern Nevadans who have been promised something by their government, who had organized themselves financially around that promise, are now getting the middle finger right in the face. Let's go to the phone. Mark is calling 884-9910. Mark is calling from, where are my reading classes?
Sparks, Mark.
Hello there. I'm glad you called, Mark. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, my name is Martin. Probably misunderstood.
Darn eyes. Yeah.
And I just want to make a comment for myself personally and for other vets that I myself,
I'm all ears,
at
my
the
friend.
End of this month, or the beginning of November now.
Martin, call back. I'm sorry, we lost your connection, and the producer has just texted me. Oops. Okay, call back, Martin. I'm sorry about that. Where was I? Because this whole thing, I don't really care about blaming politics. You may have noticed that. I care about, look at these people who our government has said are in some degree of poverty. 77,000 of them right here in Nevada, Northern Nevada. That's just Northern Nevada. 77,000 people, let that sink in, who our government has said need some kind of financial support to help feed themselves. And today they have nothing because of these bastards playing politics. And I'm not being a partisan here. I'm not trying to be a Republican cheerleader, but it literally is Chuck Schumer. Some 16 times he voted, and so Jackie Rosen, voting against the continuing resolution. In this situation, a continuing resolution makes sense. It's what they've always done. It's what they them time to work out a longer-term spending plan. It buys them time to negotiate things like this more money for Obamacare. It allows the politicians to negotiate without screwing us, the people. And I say this, I say us, the people. I'm not a government employee. I'm not a SNAP recipient. It's our neighbors, my neighbors, who are cheated on this deal, and it's not right. It's morally wrong. These people get up there in the high offices of power, and the only thing that's important to them, the only thing that's important to them is their political self-interest. And Chuck Schumer thinks that he gets arguing points to help keep his position in the Democratic Party and stave off some kind of primary from AOC. If he takes this tough stand against Trump and shows how tough he is against Trump, he's going to keep his position in the party. I cannot comprehend that degree of callousness. And I'm an anti-welfare guy. Let's go to Steve calling from Genoa about the EBT. Hey, Steve, good morning. I'm glad you called.
Hi, John. Just a quick comment on the EBT thing. Have you watched any of the videos on TV about with the people standing in line to collect food? I haven't seen anybody. It looks like they're starving there. They look like they're all overweight. That's my only comment.
Maybe true, but a promise is made, and a promise should be kept, and your tax money is going to the government doing nothing, sir.
Okay. Well, I just thought it's strange. It's not like these people are down to skin and bones. And like you said, they should plan ahead. No, this is coming.
Sure. Have a little responsibility. You're right, Steve. I appreciate your call. Thank you. I think we need, basically, also, and I think Steve would agree, I think we need fewer government employees. I think we need less welfare. And I believe people have been promised that they get your SNAP on the first of the month, ought to get their SNAP on the first of the month. And I believe politicians can piss and moan and fight amongst themselves all they want. But when they go to effing with the lives of the rest of us, that's where a line has got to be drawn. It's immoral and it's wrong to do this to these government workers. Immoral and wrong to do this to these SNAP beneficiaries, period, end of story. And I'm being taxed to cover the paychecks, and I'm being taxed to cover the food stamps, and I want the money taxed out of me to go where it's supposed to go. You pay for these people, you pay for those food stamps, and you pay to get this government back in business. Fight all you want, but don't walk on good people's lives. Don't create the stress, the anxiety, the literally hungry children that will come about if this thing doesn't wrap up soon. Really, it's disgusting. And I hate to say something like that on a beautiful day like today, but we have federal workers who have gone now a full month without pay, and that would put you and I and most of us in very hot water, right? And, you know, we can, of course, have our conversations about we need to reduce the welfare rolls and the food stamp rules. 100%. We need to get away from the culture of dependence completely. But the deal is that promises made, promises kept. If the government says we have this program, if you sign up for it, you qualify, we'll give you this much on this date, this much on this date, on and on. And when you sort of structure your life around that expectation, and the politicians screw it up and you don't get it, it's kicking people in the head. People conducting themselves decently, honorably, even if their government screws them over. It's wrong not to pay people for working, and it's wrong to have a food stamp program and promise, and then play a political game that puts the whole thing in jeopardy. If you made the promise, you're just going to take it away because you're in a pissing match with the other side. Sorry, it's wrong. It is just completely wrong. We do agree something needs to be done with health care, but holding the government hostage to do so should not have been done and never should be done. Okay, I'm done. I promise. Can I talk about books again? I'm going to take a break right now. I'm John Potter, live and local, 775-884-9910. And you can also text me at that very number, 775-884-9910. I'm very curious to hear what you have to say. Me, I'm 71 years old. I've lived a long life. I spent many years as a liberal. And I turned conservative, and I think it was 2008, from working at Channel 2 and witnessing how the news doesn't tell you both sides of the story. That's what made me a conservative. But I also have a heart, and you should too. We're all God's children. 884-9910. This is Live and Local. It's every Saturday, 9 to noon. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Back in a short while, FM News Talk time, 1121.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, Live and Local, each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. For those folks who tried to call in, and especially to Martin, the phone call dropped out. We had an internet issue in Carson City, and folks, try again calling, especially you, Martin. Let's go to the phones. It's working again. We're going to Dave Burns calling from Gardnerville. Hey, Dave, good morning. I'm glad you called. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, John, good to hear you this morning. I'm looking forward to next Saturday to be talking with you.
Good.
What I wanted to, I was listening to the government thing here. Can you imagine how bad this would be if we had socialized socialism? Everybody gets paid by the government?
Well, you just actually,
we'd have a major problem.
My gosh, look at the DMV, you know? That's kind of state controlled, not federal. But yeah, more health care run by federal government and inefficiency and ineptness and, yes, sir.
We'd have a major crisis.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when socialism was first time socialism did exist and happened in the United States?
I am a big student of history, but it started with Karl Marx, pretty much, didn't it?
Well, let's go back further. Let's go back to the Mayflower.
Oh.
When the Mayflower landed, They started a system, and they were actually going to starve to death. The Indians actually helped them out to keep them from starving to death, and gave them corn and stuff that they had stockpiled for the winter and helped them out and got them through. But here's the first socialism. The first socialism is the ones that came off the ships, and they decided to start to establish the nation, per se. They all decided to get together, and they said, you're a carpenter, so that's your specialty. So you're a carpenter. You do that. And you're a baker, so you do the baking and so on. All these different expertise, per se, that they brought over. Well, they said, okay, then we're going to do the trade, and everybody will get equal all the way around. And everybody be happy. That's socialism. Well, the first year, there was those that worked and worked hard, as expected. But there were those that didn't work at all, or hardly. They were lazy. And so they got the same equal treatment all the way around from, they wound up getting food and everything. It's the same as anybody else, but they didn't do anything for it. That lasted the 1 year, and they decided, basically, if you don't work, you don't eat. And so socialism disappeared. So it was proven way back then that it doesn't work.
Excellent lesson, sir. I haven't heard that story. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. All right. It kind of reminds me of, I read this poll. They were polling kids. Well, I say kids, young adults, college age, millennials, that sort of thing. And they were polling, doing one of these polls, and one of them was about socialism. And it turns out that this poll, I can't remember who held that poll. It was a major one. I'm Gallup or somebody. But it turned out that something like 45% of these young people answering the poll thought it would be a very good idea to try socialism in the USA. They also said something like 21% of these young adults thought we should abolish the police department. You read Reddit, you know, Reddit, right? Reddit, the everybody else is a Nazi Reddit. They seem to promulgate those views also. But 35% of these young people thought it would be a good idea. Actually, it wasn't socialism. 35% said it would be a good idea to try communism. And, who knows that's not a good idea? People our age, we've seen communism in countries, and we already know it doesn't work, and it's failed. There's some credit to being a certain age and witnessing how things like that, socialism and communism, have failed countries constantly. But I look at Cuba, look at history lessons. I hope they're still teaching those in school, you know, Russia and why they changed. Well, they haven't totally. Anyway, it's news time. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. We're on for just one more half hour. Oh, Martin called back. Oh, great. I don't want to make Martin wait. Let's go to Martin calling from Sparks. Martin, hey, I'm glad you called back. Martin, go ahead, please.
Oh, I don't know where I left off. Got dropped off.
Yeah, I have those days too.
Yeah,
you were talking about the shutdown, though. So, go from there.
Okay. Yeah. From what I'm saying is, just in general, don't forget us vets. We're not getting paid either. Those that have retired and, like myself, 25 years of service, and we all wrote that blank check. And now all we're asking is, you know, give us the monetary benefit of being able to rely on being able to buy food. Now, for myself personally, just in the turning over into being November, I've lost out on $4,000 income between the veterans' disability that I get a payment for and the military paycheck, the retirement. And so there's others out there like myself. Now, I plan for it, but then there's others that are, you know, destitute, and they rely on that pay to buy food. And I don't think it's fair. Like you said, we got the finger too.
Good reminder, Martin. Thank you for calling back, and thank you again for your service, my friend. You're always welcome to call. And, you know, with all the SNAP talk, people forget, too, about all the federal workers, 1.4 million families who have not gotten the paycheck. And these are people who I presume are good at their job. It's not that they've done anything wrong. It's not that they screwed up. Their political leaders screwed up in this state, too, with our U.S. senators. Time for Fox News and local news with Greg Neft. I'm John Potter, live and local. Back shortly, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 11:32.
Proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out, 884-9910, FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. What a glorious morning we have. First day of November, 58 our current temperature in the Reno area, expecting a high today of 74. What? In November, 70s today, tomorrow, possibly Monday too, possibly Tuesday too. Our first chance of coolness and rain happen on Wednesday. This is All Life and Local. I'm John Potter. Saturdays 9 to noon. All right, let's do some local. In Reno news, apparently we have a pigeon problem in Reno. No, it made the news this week. Kind of personally, I don't get it because we've always had pigeons here, right? Channel 2 headline from Thursday reads, "The plaza in downtown Reno addressing pigeon problem." The story reads, the Plaza has confirmed with us that they do have a pigeon problem on their roof. They've called in a pest control company to help out. While they did not provide details on the abatement methods being used, they tell us it's their understanding it is within licensed industry standards. There you go, folks. They're on it. As for the Plaza there, which, if I'm remembering right, when I was here in 1978, the Plaza was known as one of the nation's very first timeshare condo buildings. And these people who want to get rid of pigeons at the Plaza, I don't think they know their history. The Reno pigeons are the descendants of the communication backbone of this country before the telegraph. If you wanted to send a message in the year 1900, a pigeon was the way to do it. If you wanted to send a meme in 1900, you'd have to draw it and write the letters and have the pigeon take it for people to see it. Messenger pigeons were the only means of communication at the turn of the century, but suddenly they became obsolete when the telegraph was invented. And what happened? All the people who were depending on the pigeon, all these birds were just simply released from their little boxes, and they were made to fend for themselves. And the pigeons went to cities like Reno. And pigeons are from Europe originally. They got dragged here as messengers, and now they don't know what to do with themselves. They're perceived as vermin, but you know what? I want to give them a shout out because they are often misjudged and disliked, and nobody says a good word about them. They are immune to bird flu. They're unlikely to transmit diseases to humans, despite the reputation. And when bred in captivity, they are affectionate, gentle pets. And it's about time somebody spoke up for Reno's pigeons. And I guess it's left to me. We use them for their own benefit, and we toss them to the curb when we no longer needed them. And I've heard people call them rats with wings. I think that's why one dumped on my head last week. Now, the doves, they're the villains. Doves consume an estimated 30% of farmer seeds and grains, and they don't migrate. They only populate, which leads to too many. And even worse, the farmers put out the poison around their farms to kill the doves, and that ends up killing other birds and mammals, and they are not anywhere near as smart as the pigeons. Prove me wrong. Go ahead. 884-9910. Pigeons are smart, and if they keep pooping on your patio was probably their home 100 years ago. That's how homing pigeons work. They never leave their home. Is it their fault or ours? Now, some time ago during my TV days, I met a local man who thought differently. He said they harbor disease, not true, and that doves are a major invasive crop pest. Okay, doves, yes. He said he has shot many, many pigeons, and a certain local government pays him to do that. Can anybody tell me if that's true or not? Anyway, I look forward to this follow-up on the pigeons at the Plaza downtown. Let's go to the phone. 884-9910. It's a DA calling from Reno. Hey, DA, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Hi, John. I have two things to say about what some of your callers expressed about the SNAP benefits. When all the money was taken out of my paychecks during my lifetime of work, the government had the opportunity to invest in things that I, as an individual investor, could not. So there's this little thing. It's a magic word. Okay, nobody be frightened by it. It's called interest. And then there's this thing called compound interest. So everything taken out of my checks was able to have interest put on it and then compound interest. And so these monies that were, I hope, just totally properly spent are supposed to come back to us. This morning, a person named Mike from Sparks declare that these were his taxes. No. Same as the concept of share the road. Mike, you're using my taxes. When I buy gas every week, I'm helping provide the road you travel down. You're welcome. Now, my issue with veterans, and man, one of my vet friends does live in an RHA apartment. I won't even start on that. He has no income. He's not of the age yet. If people won't include the age, they will miss the whole point of why EBT is so necessary. When he turns 62, yes, he can take his retirement. But right now, he has to give blood in order to have money for food. So his EBT is critical, and it's over with today. All right? So I want everyone listening to understand, when you decide to judge, and I'm not a Christian, I'm not a Catholic, I'm not any of those things, but my relationship with God is solid. God told me, memorize some of the Christian Bible, okay? Because when people say, judge not, lest ye be judged, I'm warning you, don't stand in line behind someone who is overweight, who's using EBT, because guess what? I've got 50 pounds of tumor on me. That's not my fault. That's
no,
weight, and I
no,
my EBT.
Right. You know what? You started with, it sounded like my Social Security story. Man, if I could have invested this money on my own, I'd be very well off. Instead, the government, But I do know what you mean. When you or I or our government makes a promise, you keep a promise, and the people who receive food stamps, the SNAP, doesn't matter what body shape they are or what. They did not make up the program. The government did, and the same politicians who shut down this government. In the real world, what food stamps means is that on a certain date, you're going to get that money put on your card. It may not be a perfect system, but that is the system. And there are people, as you say, who sell blood and do things like that to keep going. I don't know their situation. We can't judge, but this is our system, and it has to be an honorable system, and these food stamps should not be used as a political football to push a change in Obamacare, or which has nothing to do with this whatsoever. It's just a disgusting wrong that people should be up in arms about. And I appreciate your call, DA. I really do. All right. Okay, I got to take my final break. I have just one more segment left, so there's just a few more minutes to get your call in. 775-884-9910. You can text it, too, because I've been looking at these texts. I do appreciate it. You know what? I promise that I won't disagree with you too much at all. I'm not that stuck in my beliefs. I'm not a blowhard who tries to push my beliefs on anybody else. Thank God we all have the freedom of speech, and we're different, and I rejoice in that. 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1147.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Live and local, John Potter. Final segment, 884-9910. Number to call. Our current temperature in Reno on this beautiful day. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great weekend. Hello, November. Set your clocks back. I love it when you set them back. 1 hour, 2 a.m. on Sunday, officially saving time. Current temperature in Reno is 59 degrees. One reason I do this show every Saturday for 3.5 years now is because I learn something new. I really do, from you folks and from our guests, you know, Derek and everybody else who comes on this show. Phil told me something today which I never knew. I have a problem at home. How often do I say that, Phil? Constant problem. Okay, I already talked about the box Spectrum sent to me with all the stuff I have to install. They used to just send one box. They have to install the entire system with wires of different colors and line splitters. And good Lord. Well, my other problem is we own two cars. We don't need two cars. We only need one. My wife and I very rarely go anywhere without each other. We're always together. We only use one car. She won't sell the other car. Won't sell it. So what happens is I have to store a car for a month. And after a month, I switch out the cars and we start using the truck. And after a month, it goes back to the car. Well, these darn cars have so many electronics in them now that if you do that, if the car is just sitting there for a month and I turn the radio off, the heaters, everything, ignition off and lock the doors, the battery's dead after just a month of this car sitting there. There's a constant battery drain on these new cars because God knows what they're doing in their electronics to drain the battery over a month. It's a big problem. This battery is not that old. Bought it. Oh my God, have you seen the price of car batteries lately? I bought this battery a year ago and it's dead. So Phil told me that, now tell me about this gadget, Phil.
It's a solar-powered gizmo that you put on your dashboard. It's about 8 inches wide, maybe 3 inches deep. And you plug it into your cigarette lighter, and it won't recharge a battery, but it will keep a battery that's charged from going dead.
Good Lord, I never knew this existed. This sounds incredible. The only catch is, when I put the car away for a month, I have to put a tarp on it because branches fall on it and things like that. So it wouldn't work with that. That's the only catch. But I'm desperate enough to actually get this item. How much do they cost?
I don't know. I don't have one myself, but I do know they exist. I can't afford a new car, so my car can sit there for 6 weeks and be fine.
I wish I could sell you one of mine. But folks, I think this benefits a lot of people who have the same problem because these cars have so many computer brain things in them and they're constantly draining the battery. So here was one of my solutions. I went to the auto shop and I paid them because somebody told me to do this. They can install a cutoff switch on your car battery. And it's not really a switch. It's like this kind of dial, okay? So if you want to store your car and not have the battery drain, you unscrew the dial and it takes the contact away from contacting the car. Well, apparently I didn't unscrew it far enough and it didn't work for me. And now the thing is so this is what I got to do this weekend, okay? I got to install my internet at home because they don't send people out to do that anymore. And I got to jumpstart the car with the other vehicle. And then I got to drive around this car, probably go around McCarran a couple of times. I don't know. How far do I have to drive to where I don't have to worry about being stranded? I mean, I don't want to go to California, you know? You don't think it would take long, do you? It's a one-year-old battery that's dead. He lost interest in the conversation. I don't blame him.
Well, I can't talk to you and to people on the phone.
Okay,
the
I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
But we did have a call, and a nice guy named John recommended that you get a trickle charger.
Oh, a plug-in thing, a trickle. Okay.
Yeah.
And John, hey, I really appreciate that, folks. Thank you so much. But the war on technology for me at home continues, and I'm sure to have some other issue to bring up tomorrow. Got a text about somebody asking, what is this, President Trump nuke tests? Yeah, President Trump said this week he was ready to resume nuclear tests, which if you're thinking of what nuclear tests he would be talking about, he wasn't quite clear and specific much more than that. If he's talking about blowing up a bomb, nobody's blown up a nuclear bomb. I looked it up since North Korea did in 2017. The United States has not done one since 1992 in southern Nevada. The last nuclear test took place September 1992 at the Nevada test site. And by the way, oh, they changed the name of it. It's the National Security Sites. It may be the president was talking about exploding nuclear devices. We've done that about 1,000 times. But Democrats saw an opening and jumped. One news article says President Trump's comments Thursday suggesting the United States will restart its testing of nuclear weapons has outraged Nevada Democrats, who immediately slammed the proposal as dangerous and unnecessary. Senator Jackie Rosen immediately came out against any proposal to restart nuclear testing after President Trump posted he would order the military to resume the long-abandoned practice. I know, who cares what she says? Senator Catherine Cortez Masto criticized Trump's comments as well. It's really, I'm surprised they, they probably know better. It's really just a bargaining chip to use. He's out there in China. It's a bargaining chip to use against the Chinese. It's a game. Rocket Man shoots missiles into the ocean. Russia threatens World War III, and they put tanks in parades. And Trump is negotiating in China and has to have some tough talk of his own. You negotiate, of course, from a position of strength. But any future U.S. test would take place in southern Nevada because at the testing sites, because that's the only place where America could test a nuclear weapon in the United States. And what our senators don't know is that they don't test nuclear weapons with bombs blowing up anymore. At least I was told that they research and develop in labs and computers, and it's not an explosion event anymore.
Well, that's what somebody told me.
Yes. I'm John Potter, live and local. Thank you so much for putting up with me. I do appreciate it. I'll be back next Saturday morning, God willing, 9 to noon on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Phil, always a pleasure working with you, and I get to work with you again next Saturday. I'm looking forward to that. I'll give you folks the news and the traffic on Monday. See ya.